That's good. Okay. So, slaying giants. It's weird thinking of this subject that I'm talking about today as a giant that you're going to slay. But it's probably one of the, we're not going to look at Netflix or anything, but you're excited, I know, but you'd rather watch that than talk about passive aggression. But to me, it's been probably one of the biggest giants that I've had to deal with. Being passive aggressive, which we're going to talk about what it is and some of the symptoms of it, is something that's not easy to deal with. And I tried to look in the Bible about, you know, I put passive aggression, you know, in the Bible. And there are no passages that say, thou shalt not be passive aggressive, right? But I did find a passage in Psalms 55:21, and it says, His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. And that sounds like passive aggression to me. Somebody that what they say, the words that are coming out of their mouth, aren't exactly the feelings that they're feeling at the moment. And it sounds good, or it leaves you with this feeling of, was that a compliment? Or was, you know that thing? You know, you say it like underhandedly, but you really hate the person. You know, there were like, what was it on, not Clueless, Mean Girls, right? When they're talking about something and then they turn around, I hate that, right? Or something like that. Oh, thank you, then, right? Passive aggression. The problem with this passage here is it's talking about the enemies of God. He is asking God to take care of these people who are aggressive, who are enemies of God. If you are passive aggressive, it means that you're not honest about what you say. It's really about lying. And that's a problem, right? Because lying is a huge sin. And I'm not happy that I was chosen for this. I wasn't chosen because I'm so good at being not passive aggressive. I was chosen because I've dealt with this a lot. And there's a friend of mine, her name is Janice. And the weird thing is I found out that I was passive aggressive in Tulsa, here in this city. Weird, right? We were at the Tulsa workshop, and Janice is a very good friend of mine who taught me a lot, who helped me deal with things. She picks up this book, and they have, you know, you go to the book stands, and there were a lot of them at the time. This was, I guess, eight or nine years ago. And she hands me this book. It's called The Anger Workbook. And she says, Ben, you should buy this. You know how happy I was, right? When she told me that, I was like, what are you talking about? I'm such a calm, right, collected person. I'm in control, right? Started getting a little angry there. But she said, she opened this book and said, read this. And it was a part that said passive aggression. And I read it, and I bought the book. I wasn't happy. I didn't say anything after that. I didn't talk to her much for a couple hours after that because I was hurt. But I understood what she was saying because I didn't realize until that moment that there was a problem. And the reason that I was okay with buying the book, I think a lot of people might have cussed her out or said, you know, who are you to tell me what I am, right? Why don't you take care of your own life? Which is passive aggression. That's a little more aggressive aggression there. But at the time, I had moved from Brazil, and I had done a lot of things in the year before that that I wasn't very happy about. And I was broken to the point where at one moment I wanted to end my life because I didn't want to go on with the way I was. I felt like a hypocrite. I didn't know exactly what was wrong in there, but I knew that there was something wrong, and it was seriously wrong if I didn't want to go on with my life. But I was broken and listening, and Janice was somebody that I respected, that I respect a lot still today, and I listened to her. It's weird because the trip back, it was Janice and I. We switched, you know, who was driving, and it was like a whole counseling session, and she told me all about my life, right, that whole trip, and I was like, man, how did I get into this? But it was really good because I found out about myself, things that I did want to work on, and things that were real. So what is passive aggression? And I'm going to open this, and it's supposed to come out on those things. Let's see. Ah, that works. Here we go. And this is right out of the book. This is right out of the anger workbook. Has anybody ever read the anger workbook? No? If you've been through a class about anger management, you might have. And it says, and this is where I found out, and it says, passive aggression. Some people are determined not to succumb to the temptation to be rageful in their anger. They're proud, right? We have control. Rightly recognizing that open aggression creates an atmosphere of great disrespect, they refuse to explode loudly or get caught in games of verbal abuse. That's childish, right? It says that's the good news. The bad news, however, is that these individuals can still communicate their anger destructively, but in a veiled manner. By doing so, they become susceptible to passive aggression. Many of these people already have a habit of suppressing anger, but they are incapable of holding it inside permanently. Like open aggression, anger expressed through passive aggression involves preserving personal worth, needs, and convictions at someone else's expense. But it differs in that it is accomplished in a quieter manner, causing less personal vulnerability. And the truth is, I'm trying to protect myself even there, right? Because aggression is me taking into my hands because I'm mad that you said something about me, because I'm offended, because you think your opinion is more important, or because I think my opinion is more important, right? In this case, I found a way to not sound so bad, right? But I'm going to make you hurt. And you're not going to realize it until you leave, right? You know, those little things that we do and that we say underhandedly, or we say to other people, right? Oh, that person, yeah, I know. Let me tell you something about Jess, right, that you don't know, right? You think she's such a great person? She's not, right? You know those feelings, and right? And they're going to listen to you because you seem like a calm and collected person, right? But the truth is, there's much more underneath. So what I want to do is, after this, there was actually a checklist to find out if you're passive aggressive. And it's very small, and I think I marked every one of them when Janice gave it to him. It says, the following checklist provides some examples of passive aggressive anger. Check the items that apply to you. So I'm going to read them, and you think about yourself and think if you've ever done this. I just talked to Robert, and he said, I think everybody, Robert Cox, he said everybody is passive aggressive at one point in their life. Like, everybody struggles with it, some to a higher level, some to a lower level. But he said that even he does that. But check the items that apply to you. First, when I am frustrated, I become silent, knowing it bothers other people. You know that feeling, right? My wife would probably be upset at me if, you know, she's like, what's wrong with you? That's okay. You know that feeling? They don't want to say it, but they know that something's wrong. I am prone to sulk and pout. You know what? Forget about it. I'm just going to walk away. When I don't want to do a project, I will procrastinate. I can be lazy. You know, this is actually a big one that they say. You procrastinate because, you know what? That's not that important to me, and I'm going to show them how, oh, I forgot about it. That's actually passive aggression. When someone asks if I am frustrated, I will lie and say, no, everything is fine. Have you ever done that? We do that all the time, right? People come and talk to us and say, and you know that feeling when they say, hey, are you upset? Then you, now I am, right? You know that feeling, now I'm upset. Why are you asking me if I'm upset? What's wrong? Really, you probably are upset inside and haven't dealt with things. It says, there are times when I am deliberately evasive so others won't bother me. I deliberately I don't want to get to the point. I sometimes approach work projects half-heartedly. It's something that you have to do, but you're mad because you didn't want to do it. So you're not going to tell them that I'm upset because you told me to do it. What am I going to do? I'm not going to do it very well. Maybe next time you won't ask me. You know that feeling? This is like a strategy. I'm just going to do a bad job so they'll never ask me to do it again. That's passive aggression. When someone talks to me about my problems, I stare straight ahead, deliberately obstinate. I think sometimes people do that with, what do you call, with their headphones, right? They keep them in and like loud so they don't have to listen to what somebody is saying. I complain about people behind their backs, but resist the opportunity to be open with them face to face. I know none of you have ever done that, right? This is one that like probably most people do. They're not up front. They talk about them behind their backs. Sometimes I become involved in behind-the-scenes misbehavior. You know, little mutinies, right? You feel that if I say something that I'm going to be shut down, so I'm going to say it to other people, right? Oh, how did you feel about what he said? You know what I'm talking about, right? I sometimes refuse to do someone a favor, knowing this will irritate him or her. So it says here, if you checked five or more items, now you're thinking, oh gosh, I'm one of the bad ones, right? If you check five or more items, you show a strong inclination toward using passive aggression to express your anger. You may think you are succeeding in putting limits on your anger, but you are only communicating the anger in a way that will cause future tensions. It says passive aggression is caused by a need to have control with the least amount of vulnerability. This form of anger is different from suppression in that the person knows he or she is angry, in contrast to suppressed anger, which is denied. But because this person assumes it is too risky to be open, he or she frustrates others by subtle sabotage. You act behind the scenes. And I'm gonna, you can turn it off. Brian, please. So if you know you're passive aggressive or you just found out right now, we're going to talk a little bit about this. Don't be angry at me. I'm just the messenger, right? But this anger and aggression is sinful. And the way I've read it's classified is as a stronghold. You know, when you talk about it, and Paul talks about it in Romans 7. You know, you want to do the things, but you don't do them. You do the things you don't. You know that passage? It's crazy, right? I want to do the things I want, but I don't. I do the things I don't want. So sin takes over. And the truth is that your mindset is so wired to do that, that it's almost impossible on your own to decide that I'm not going to do this. Because it's so ingrained. Remember Paul talked about it? How can I get away from my sin? It's me. It became who I am. And that's how it was with passive aggression with me. The truth is that you become a slave to your behavior. You think that you're in control, right? Robert talked about it yesterday in his study of sin, where he said, you know, people start smoking and they start inhaling and right, they cough, but they keep going because I'm gonna smoke because I'm in control. I can smoke. But you think you're in control, but really it becomes who you are. And a lot of times when people are confronted with passive aggression, after they found out, they become aggressive sometimes, right? They're like, okay, you're right. I'm passive aggression. Are you happy now? You know that feeling? Why did you tell me this? I don't want to hear this. I don't want to know this about myself. But the truth is that these are just symptoms, right? These are symptoms of what you do. These are symptoms of deeper issues of your past. So what I'm going to talk about first is where does it come from? Where exactly, how did this happen? Why am I aggressive? And there are many reasons for displaying this kind of behavior. And the first I'm going to talk about is, any guesses? What is one of the main problems of being passive aggressive? Of not confronting people directly because you are? It is one. I'm not going to talk. It's pride is in all the middle of all this. But it's about fear. It's about fear. Fear of abandonment, of somebody in the past that abandoned you and you thought that it's because of the way you were, so you decided to hide who you were, or hide any aggression that you had. Fear of rejection. Anybody have fear of rejection? Not in this group, right? Fear of rejection. Probably everybody does. I'm going to say something in this group and they're going to be against me because of it. As a Christian, that's very difficult because you're going to have to say some things that people don't agree with. And we're going to be confronted with a lot of things. And you might become passive aggressive because of that. But it's a fear of rejection. If I say something, if I state my opinion directly, people are going to be upset at me. Or they were upset at me, so I decided to do it differently. I'm going to do it, you know, underneath, behind the scenes. Fear of being exposed for who you are. You know that feeling that you have that you hope nobody finds out that you think that's the way you are? I think guys are a lot like this. I hope nobody, we have a question in Healing is a Choice that says, you know, what are you afraid people will find out about you? And there are those things that we feel, right? It's like, oh, if they only knew how I think. And the problem with that is that a lot of people think like you. They just don't voice it. Or they voice it in ways that are wrong. Fear of just being wrong sometimes. So you're going to state your opinion or make people believe in a different way. Fear of what people think of us. If you're a Christian, fear of what people think of us is something you have to fight. Because you need to worry about what one person, what one being thinks of you, right? What God thinks of you. As long as you do that, you're going to be okay. People who are passive-aggressive don't do this. In 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind." We're not supposed to be fearful. When you look at 1 John 4:18, and this is one that that I found out about myself, that I didn't love people and that I needed to learn. It says, "There is no fear in love." That's hard, right? How do I do it if I'm fearful of all these things? There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And I always remember Star Wars, because I love Star Wars, and Anakin Skywalker. And the reason he became Darth Vader was because of his fear, right? He was afraid of what was going to happen to his mom, and he became angry because of it, and he expressed his anger in different ways, not good ways. Then we come to the next one. I just talked about it, and it's so first fear, next is anger. This, I know we're talking about passive aggression, and anger is the feelings that you weren't able to express, right? When somebody was stifling you because, you know, you're not supposed to feel like that. In my past, I'm a missionary's kid. And I've had a lot of addictions in my life, things that I'm not proud of. To be a missionary's kid and be a Christian and have those problems is not acceptable. So expressing your feelings in front of people while the preacher is right there is not acceptable, because you're going to embarrass the preacher, you're going to embarrass the family, and you need to be a good boy, because the preacher knows how to raise kids, and right, and good kids don't get upset and they don't show their feelings. And my dad would tell me several times, he's like, "Change that face." I'd be like angry or crying, and he's like, "Change that face right now." How do you do that? You learn. You learn to do it. It's weird, because with my dad, every time he comes around, I'm angry at him. And he tries to tell me things, and it's the slightest thing. And there's so much anger inside that later I have to, like, he gets one session of talking to me and telling me what's wrong with my life. Which I don't, you know, I don't like those sessions, but, you know, I should hear, he's my father. And then I just go off on him. And he gets quiet. And then I have to call him back and apologize and say, "Look, I'm sorry, that was immature, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I thought I was past this." Anger that you haven't dealt with. Anger just kept inside or used in different ways isn't okay. You need to learn to deal with your anger in a right way. Sometimes you're not honest about what you really feel about people, and you end up gossiping about them to others to destroy them, right? That is anger coming out in different ways. So first, fear. And there's a lot. If you go and Google passive aggression, there's a lot about it. But I'm just going through some of the points. So first, fear. Second, anger. The next one is hopelessness. I know you might think that's a weird one, right? Hopelessness. But by thinking that things won't get better, we resort to the only way we know how to act. Because at times we want to do better. We want to change that, because you've noticed that your behavior destroys other people and it destroys your relationships. And then it starts destroying the relationships that you're closest to. Your family, your wife, your husband, whoever it is. So you try, but the hopelessness of it, of thinking that, oh, this can't change, and this is the only way I can deal with it, so you go on and doing that, and it doesn't work. Sometimes we've been just so disappointed and let down by others again and again that you think this sounds logical of a way of doing this. So anger, hopelessness. And then another one is powerlessness. Powerlessness. It's one of those long words. I like long words. What this comes from is a sense of having no control, of thinking, of being in situations where you weren't able to decide. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to find control in a different way. I'm going to exert my power, right, behind the scenes with people not knowing really that, oh, it was me, right? I got them in the end. People don't like them anymore because I spread all those rumors about them. I do that because I want to control. You know what the problem with that is? When you come to give God control, it doesn't happen. It's really difficult because you want that control, and that person made me feel powerless, whether it's my father, my mother, or somebody, some abuse that happened in your life. But the truth is that you'll have a hard time surrendering your life to God and to Christ because you want to be in control, and it's so scary, the fear of giving control to somebody else. What if they use it badly, like these other people did? And the last one on here about why we do it is low self-esteem, is your self-value, is what you think you are. A person with this type of belief is less likely to express their opinion, to take a stand, to confront, or stand their ground. They live with this fear that they aren't worthy. That was a lot of mine, with your insecurities. So instead of, when insecurities come up, instead of confronting them and talking about them, I just abandon this relationship before it even gets bad. Have you ever done that? I've done that so many times in my life. And from a young age, to just abandon this relationship, to check out, sometimes even emotionally, we still have this kind of a friendship that's not really a friendship, but at least you're not going to hurt me. And that is a form of passive aggression. To check out, this person wants a relationship with you, but you know what? I have control. I decide when we have a relationship. And you destroy any possibility of having something that is good. So these are things that cause it. These are things that are deep down, that are in your past. And if it touched a nerve there, if you understand that this is right, and it's really hard really to think of how am I going to change this, talk about it to your leader, about dealing with these things, about finding help to talk about your fears and the things that are in your past. You need to deal with your past. But I want to give you four things you must do to defeat passive aggression. Four things you must do to defeat passive aggression, and it is possible. These things are not easy. Okay, it's not this little formula, you know, you do these four things and you're good. You're going to see. These are things that are serious, and it has to do really with the basics of what you are as a Christian, of what God asks you to do in your life. It says in Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The world is aggressive in different ways. One of them that's very common is passive aggression. If we're not going to be passive aggressive, we're going to have to do what he said. We're going to have to renew our minds. Remember the strongholds that hold us so tight and you know you don't know what to do? The way you fight it is you change the way you think. People talk about Christianity, you know, they want to brainwash people. God said he wants a complete transformation of your mind. Did you realize that? He wants you to think like he does. He wants you to have the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world. Once you do this, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what I'm telling you is, try it. Test it. Do what God tells you to do. Apologize more. Apologizing is something important when you're passive aggressive. You'll have to learn to do it. I've had to learn to do it. And it's embarrassing and it's humbling, but God wants you to be humble. If you're not, you're going to have a problem doing these things that I'm going to talk to you about now. And the first one, it might be very obvious. The first one is you must be honest. You must be honest. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Remember what I said? Passive aggression? It's a stronghold. It controls you. You don't control it. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Pretensions that are in here, that are in your mind, that you think things are the way they are, and that's why I do my things the way I do, because I know how things are, and this is how the world is. You know what? You don't. You know what the world does, but if you don't decide to change and start thinking like God, you're not going to demolish the strongholds. You're going to be controlled the rest of your life with something that is so petty and sad. I was upset at myself. I was angry with myself when I found out I was passive aggressive. That in a cowardly way, I underhandedly made people feel the way I wanted them to feel. But I wasn't upfront and honest about it. Here's what you do. It says, "And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." As a passive aggressive person, I had to ask people. I had to say, "Look, this is the way I think. This is my thought process. What do you think?" One of those people is Kerry Cox. He's a good friend of mine, and he's honest. He's honest with me about things. You heard him just now, right? And the vein pops up, and he's like on fire. I needed a person that was on fire who was honest so that I could be honest. And I would tell him things and say, "Kerry, I'm thinking like this. What do you think of this?" And I've told my guys that are in groups with me, I said, "You need to do this. Because there are going to be feelings of envy." I had one of my guys, and he knows I talk about him all the time. His name is Fernando. And I love Fernando. And Fernando would get envious of... It's weird. He'd get mad at other people that were reaching out to more people than he was. I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "I'm really embarrassed to even say this." He's from Panama, so I'm really embarrassed to say it, right? It's not right. Right? But I said, "That's good that you came and tell me. Because you know what happens when you keep that in? It festers. It becomes resentment. And then you start letting it out in ways that you don't want to. Because you can't keep that anger inside. It's going to come out some way. And it might be in passive aggression. And I'm going to say certain things about them. I'm going to jeopardize what they're going to do. And if they're going to get something good, I'm going to make sure they don't." And I said, "You know what you need to do? Is just be honest. Go in there." Was a specific person. I said, "Go talk to that person. Find out how they reach out to people. Be honest with them. Say, 'Look, I really want to know what you know so that I can help people. Not so that I can look good, but so I can do it for the right reasons.'" And the truth about passive aggression is it's a coward way of dealing with people. Who here wants to be called a coward? Nobody. You want to be the one that has courage, that will go out and say the things that need to be said. And I'm not saying go out and don't make it become aggressive aggression, right? "I'm just going to say it then now, right? I'm mad and I'm just going to let people know how mad I am." That's not what I'm saying. But be honest and humble about who you are. Go and tell them, "Look, I was feeling this way about you." I had to tell Kerry Cox one day, because of my decisions and being an angry elf, right? It comes out in different ways. And at times, I try to be the calm and collective person, so I'm bigger than other people, right? You know that feeling, right? He's just angry, right? And I tried, and some people knew how to push my buttons, and I would get angry. My sister was one of them. My sister Amy, and if you know her, you think, how did she do that? She changed. She used to be really mean. But I remember one time, and I forget exactly what it was, and we were right next to a table and chairs, and I grabbed this chair, and I smashed it on the ground. And when this anger comes out, your force is greater than you think you have. Believe me, it is. And I smashed that chair. It went all over the place. 15 pieces. And she was really angry at me because she said I tried to kill her. She will still say that today. She's a Christian. We talked about it and all, but she still said, "No, you tried to kill me." I said, "Amy, I grabbed that chair because I wanted to grab you and throw you against the wall. Because that's how you made me feel." Aggression will come out in different ways. And I decided that I didn't want to get married before I dealt with that, with this anger. Because you know what I think would be the worst thing in my life? Was if one day I hit my wife out of anger. Because she did something or said something to me. And it took me a while to get married. I just got married 3 years ago, and I was 36. I'm going to be 40 next year. My wife is 12 years younger than me. And I have an eight-month-old, and I'm going to have more real quick because I'm getting old, right? But I remember being in a car with Carrie, and I was embarrassed to say this, and I told Carrie, I said, "Carrie, and I lived with Carrie at the time. I said, "It's really hard living with you, in the house with you, because you have what I want. You have what I want. You have a wife. I think you had two kids at the time." And I was crying, and I was talking to him, and it was hard because I didn't want to be honest about those things. But I knew if I wasn't honest that I would have resentment against Carrie for something. Do you see how petty it is? We need to deal with it. We need to be honest to people. Because of me and Carrie being able to say the things in the hard way and whatever that needs to be said, I know that I'm not worried about our relationship. Our relationship has been tested because I know I can tell Carrie things. And when I told him that, he wasn't mad at me. He's like, what can I do about that, right? It's your fault that, you know. Right? But the truth was he was very loving and said, "Man, I know, and you're going to find the person. It's going to work out." And it was true. And I have a wife that I love so much and that I feel I don't deserve because I admire her so much. And she's right over there hiding. You know, she hides because she knows I'm going to talk about her. We need to be honest, because if we're not, we're going to destroy our ministries. We're going to destroy the people that we love. We need to be honest and tell people what we think and love. So first, be honest, and I know it's obvious. And a good way to do it is take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Read your Bible. talk to your leader. Talk to the people that know more than you. And tell them, "What do you think of this?" Tell them to show it in scriptures. First, if you're going to fight this, you need to be honest. Second, you need accountability. You're not going to do it alone. I don't know if you're trying it. I've tried it. I've tried it for a long time. You know what? I'm pretty smart. I can do this. Right? It's that feeling like it's me and God. And you know those people that feel that, you know, I don't need anybody else. Me and God. It sounds so good, right? Doesn't it sound good? Me and God, we're connected. You're not. He's looking down at you and saying, "You're not. Because I put all these people around you so that they could help you." We need accountability. In Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it says, is this where I am? No, sorry. Mark that. That's the next one. You need accountability. You know all those passages in the Bible that talks about each other? Right? Bear with each other, right? Cry with each other, like confess to each other, pray for each other. There's so many each others. And I don't know where we get the idea that for you it doesn't apply. It's not each other. It's Ben and Ben. Right? That's the each other that you think you're using. It doesn't work like that. God said he's going to use people. If it was going to be just him, he would have stayed here. Right? He wouldn't have gone up into the heavens. But he left a bunch of people here for people to go out and tell you and be honest with you. You need accountability. And not that somebody has to come to you and tell you these things and say, look, I saw this in your life, that you will be honest and you go and tell them. You go confess your sin. You tell them what's going on in your life. You tell them about how you're feeling, about your fears and your anger and whatever is back there. Talk to them about it. You need somebody that you can be completely transparent to, that you can bounce things off and bring everything into the open. Do you have that person? I hope you have at least one person. You probably need more. As you realize that that's really good with that person, you'll find other people. Carrie is one of those people. Tim Pruitt, I was in recovery for a while for sexual addiction, and I went to Celebrate Recovery at our church. And Tim Pruitt was one of those guys. He just had to look at me. You know that feeling? I respect Tim Pruitt a lot. But he'd look at me, and sometimes he'd ask me, hey, how are things going? And I knew what he was talking about. It wasn't, oh, yeah, I went to the Cardinals game, or I went and did this, right? I went mountain biking. Or no. He's asking about my life. He's asking, did you look at porn? He's asking, did you lie about something? Are you keeping things in? Chris Mullen is another one that has done that for me. And there's so many others. TC. TC is a guy that I respect because he has the courage to come and tell me the things I need to hear. And he's right back there. And there were times, I remember one time he came and told me about something, and he said, this is the hardest thing I've had to do. And I respect that, because it is hard to tell people the things that you see in them. But I knew that TC loved me, and that he wouldn't say it to me if it wasn't for my good, for my own good. I could have been mad at him, but I wasn't. You need accountability. You need to fight the feelings of anger, envy, insecurity, and fear that they're in there. So first, honesty. Second, accountability. The third, and this one's pretty easy, you need to exercise selflessness. Easy, right? Yeah, just be selfless. And you know what I'm talking about, being selfless? I didn't know, because I was one of the most selfish people that I knew. And I didn't find out, I always say the story about, I found out from my mom that I was selfish. And I asked my mom one day, and I like this story because it shows that we have no idea what's going on in here sometimes, or what we're doing. And I asked my mom, I said, do you think I'm selfish? And I was expecting her to say, no, Ben, you are God's gift of generosity to the world. I'm not joking. That was how I felt. I felt I'm a pretty good guy, you know. I help people. I'm pretty generous. And then she goes, well, you asked. I knew there was something wrong. I knew it was going the wrong way. And she said, yeah, you can be very selfish. And when she said, well, you learn it from your dad. That was my mom, right? Of course, it's not hers. You learn it from your dad. And I was like, oh, that makes it okay, right? It's like Talladega Nights. Well, I said it with all due respect, so it's okay, right? It doesn't make it okay, because I hated myself and the things that I did after that. We need to learn to think of others first. And here's where Philippians 2, 3, and 4 comes in. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. You need to think of other people before you think of yourself. That's something I needed to learn. You know how I learned it? By people that were doing that. People here at the crossings that I saw that they were giving up their time and they were sacrificing their lives because of other people. I didn't understand what love was before I met people who loved. But I had to be broken enough to choose to deal with who I was. You know what we need to check? We need to check our motives. And our motives so many times are about what we want. Ben is a selfish person. I fight it every day. I fight it even more today because I have an 8-month-old. And I look at her and I'm like, how am I going to destroy her life? Is she going to look back at me and resent who I am because I put myself first and not her. Puts it into perspective when you have other people that you love so much. But I have people in my ministry that I look at that also, that I love, and I want to take care of them, and I don't want them to be destroyed because of what I want to do for myself. By being selfless and thinking of others first, you make it a habit not to try and protect yourself. Because that's the problem of passive aggression. And in the middle of it, you're like, how can I protect myself? Some people will lie like that, and I've seen people lie and say, why are you lying? You just learn, and it's a stronghold, and you do it because if you're passive aggressive, you have to learn how to lie. You do it like that to protect yourself. It doesn't matter if it destroys your ministry, your family, or who it is. You see how important it is to take care of this? If my sins that are going to destroy me are the same ones that I've had the whole time. It's not anything new. These are the things that you need to fight. When we talk about renewal of the mind, it isn't easy. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of embarrassment. I've had to apologize to people so many times in front of other people in situations that I'm like, you know what, you're right. I've had, I'm looking at Jess now, because and Hannah, I've had interventions done with me because I was thinking of Ben first, because I was thinking of what I want and not what was right. And I am glad that there were people that loved me enough to come and tell me, look, this is wrong. They try to do it just one coming and saying it. It didn't work, you know, because I'm protecting myself. I'm passive aggressive. Who are you to tell me? I'm Ben, right? I'm older than you, because most people in my ministry were younger than me. I need to stop protecting myself, because when I protect myself, I destroy other people. And the last thing, so first, be honest. Second, you need to find accountability. You need to be accountable so you can be honest. Third, I need to exercise selflessness. Do it in a fake way if you have to in the beginning. Right? You know you're not, you don't want to. And a lot of times that's how it is. It's going, you know what? I want to do this other thing. I'm going to do this because it's right. Not because of what I want, but because of what is right. The rewards are a lot bigger. Believe me. And the last thing is I must surrender. It is an act of surrendering and going, you know what, okay. I realize that, well, I can look back at my past and look at the things that I did. Believe me, I'm not happy about them. And at a certain point I went, I surrender. And I surrendered to Christ. Instead of ending my life, I decided to give my life to Christ. That was exactly my thought. If I give my life to Christ, I know that He loves me. I know that He died for me. I know that things can be different. I know how things are under Ben's rule. And they're not very good. They made me hate myself. So I decided to surrender and do it the way God wanted me to. It says in Philippians, continuing in that passage, it says, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the truth, what I'm telling you here, is you need to surrender your life. Is be ready to die. You know what you're dying to? You're dying to yourself. You're dying to the instinct that you have of protecting, of being, I need to take care of what Ben wants. Forget about that. Surrender to God. If you do, He's going to take care of everything else. You know what happened for Christ since he surrendered? God put him above everything, right? God put him in that position to where he wanted to be. And you know what he got to do? He got to give the world the opportunity to be saved. Can you think of anything better than that? Because he surrendered. He wants us to do that. If he can do that, and he is God, you can do it. Stop being your own God. Stop protecting yourself. Surrender to him. When those feelings come up that I'm going to, and they come up still. I had to apologize to TC the other day because I was being a jerk at church. You know, and I was being controlling, and people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm going to give these underhanded comments and say, hey, why are you just standing there? Like, or I'm just going to act mad. And TC confronted me. I was like, I wasn't happy at first. Because, I don't know, like, who are you to talk to me, right? But the truth is, I'm glad I have people that will do that for me. And I apologized to him in front of Jimmy. Jimmy was there with me, one of my guys. And I'm happy that he was there, that he saw that, you know, it's not about what Ben wants. I want to do what God wants. And I'm afraid at so many times that of what's going to happen if Ben takes over. You know, when Paul says, you know, I hope that I finish this race, right? He's going down the race, and he's worried even about his salvation. You should be worried. Do these things. I know they're difficult. Be honest. Be accountable. Be selfless. And do that by surrendering what you want. God is going to give you much more than you even think you want. He's going to give you the desires of your heart if you do. But you're going to have to change this in order to do it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just who you are. You take people who are mean, who are passive aggressive, and I know that sounds like a jargon of psychology, but people who are liars, as I am, or as I've been, people who are cowards, as I've been, and you take them and show them something completely different, Lord. I am so glad that you came into my life at a moment that was so hard, and you changed it completely, and you put people in my life that I don't deserve. People who loved me, but not because of who I was, but because of what they knew they had to do for you. Lord, help us to grow out of these strongholds that destroy the ministries that we're trying to grow, that destroy people around us that we love. Lord, help us to be the people that decide to surrender and be like your son and be humble. Lord, thank you so much for what he did on the cross. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.